What do you think when you hear the terms holy and godly? Actually, holy and godly, that's what every Christian should be. Yet many Christians don't understand that, I don't think, or what it really means to be holy and godly. And probably most of us would, if someone called us holy or godly, we would probably kind of shy away from it because we don't want to put ourselves on a pedestal, you might say. But every Christian should have a life of holiness and godliness. And even though the title of the message today is thinking about heaven, the message is more about how in light of what we know will come to us one day, that blessing of heaven for those who know Christ, the message probably is more about how we should be living and what we should be doing while we're here prior to that time. Because Jesus is coming back one day, isn't he? He's coming back one day. So how should we live now? How will Jesus find us when he returns? So let's look together at 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Now, that's not just a fairy tale, people. That's going to happen one day. Verse 11 says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So in this passage, there's five ways that I want us to understand how we should be strong in light of the fact that Christ could return at any moment. And I think that moment is coming soon. I really do. I know there's been preachers down throughout the centuries that have said the same thing. But it just seems like Jesus is coming back soon. And I don't know about you, but Lord Jesus, come quickly is in my mind and heart. Well, the first thing, in light of the fact that he is coming, we don't know when, but he is coming. The first thing I want us to think about is that we should be strong in our purity. After Peter tells us that the day of the Lord is coming quickly, and that all we know now is the earth and the heavens will go away, he asks, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness? When Jesus comes back, how should we be found? Holiness means that as Christians, we are set apart for the work of God. Do you know that's what happened when you repented of sin and gave your heart to Jesus, that he set you apart for himself? That's a very privileged place to be, isn't it? Set you apart for himself. James Augie said this, holiness consists of three things: separation from sin, dedication to God, and transformation into the likeness of Christ. That's an excellent summary of what holiness should be to you and me. Separation from sin, dedication to God, and transformation into Christ's image. In addition, Peter says that we are to be godly. Godliness is that quality of our life in Christ, something to chase after. Part of that is avoiding things that are sinful and ungodly. Did you know that the highest compliment that you could get as a Christian is for someone else to say that you're a godly man or you're a godly woman? To have that someone to think of you as that is probably the highest compliment that you could get. But how are we to be godly? In 1 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul tells us to exercise toward godliness. Now, I know all y'all exercise, don't you, on a regular basis. That's why we're all so buff physically in good condition, right? My daughter is in the process of moving back up in the Jackson area, and she told me they're going to have to stay with us a few weeks while their house is getting ready for them to get into. And so the other day she said, "Dad, didn't I hear you say one time that you had a membership at Planet Fitness?" And I really didn't want to tell her. I thought about lying, as a matter of fact, and just telling her that I didn't. But no, I said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "But it's been a while." Of course, I had surgery a few months ago, so that's a great excuse, isn't it? Hey, well, I hadn't been able to do it. So she says, "Well, I do too, and we're going tomorrow night." So, okay. So we went, and we went again. But you know what I noticed that second night wasn't as hard as the first night. And so what does that tell us? Exercising toward godliness. If we start doing it, then it gets better and we get stronger as we go, right? Well, what are the exercises? And I know I sound like a broken record because I'm saying this all the time. You got to read your Bible. You got to study your Bible. You got to pray. You got to exercise self-control. You've got to discipline what you read, what you watch, what you listen to, have accountability. You've got to fellowship with other believers, come to worship, give, all of these things. But to be godly, we have to exercise to godliness, right? The more we exercise, the stronger that we get in purity. And by the way, the church is the perfect Planet Fitness for your spiritual life, right? This is Baptist, Planet Baptist, I guess we could call it, right? That's what we're here to do. Being strong in godliness means making hard decisions about what we're going to spend our lives doing in the present, considering our future with Christ. You've got a future with Christ, right? You may have already, and hopefully everybody in here has trusted Christ as Savior, and you've been serving Him. Well, you've got a future with Him as well, right? There's still more to come. It's like what we talked about, I believe it was last week. The best is yet to come. So there's the first thing. The second thing is that we should stand strong on His promises. Did you catch that promise in the verses that we read just a moment ago? Jesus is coming again. Think about that. Jesus is coming again. And the Scriptures teach that Jesus will come quickly and suddenly without warning. So for these that say, I'm going to clean this up in my life, I'm going to get this right, then I'm going to start coming to church, and I'm going to deal with this, and then I'll come to Christ. And well, you really don't have time, do you? You're really just on borrowed time if you're waiting for the right moment. because it says Jesus will come like a thief in the night. I guess you expect a thief to come and call you and tell you that he's coming, right? Robert, I'm a thief, and I'm going to come over to your house about 2 o'clock tomorrow morning and rob you. It don't usually happen like that, does it? It doesn't. All the prophecy in the Bible about Jesus' first coming has already happened, right? And it all came true. Everything in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus' first coming, it's all been fulfilled. It all happened just like it said it would. And we can rest assured that the second coming of Christ is going to be the same way. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen just like the Bible says it will. Here's some things that the New Testament tells us in anticipation of His coming. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us to wait for Him eagerly. Titus 2:13 tells us to watch for His coming. Hebrews 9:28 tells us to eagerly wait for His coming. 2 Timothy 4:8 tells us to love His appearing. I mean, to tell you, Jesus is coming back, isn't He? We need to be strong-minded about Christ's promise to return and not let the world to lull us into apathy and laziness and godlessness, right? It's easy to do. Here's the third thing. We must be strong-willed about our purpose while we're here. Verse 14 said, "Therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, be diligent to be found without spot or blemish and at peace." This verse, in this verse, the things we are waiting for is the coming of Christ and the future renovation of the earth. That's what that was talking about. Knowing that we shall soon stand before God, that should create within us a desire to be without spot and blameless, like it says. That is to be morally clean. That's more difficult, it seems, these days, doesn't it, to keep ourselves morally clean. Knowing that we shall stand before God, and I don't know how much time that you spend thinking about that. It's not something that's on our minds all the time, but the fact of the matter is, think about that, that one day that we'll stand before God. That is not just a truth that we hold on to, but it should be a truth that holds us to keep us on a straight and moral path. The fact that I'm going to stand before God one day. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? So the Bible tells us that we're to be diligent about godliness. And diligence means to be a hard worker, hard working toward it. We are not saved to be some spiritual couch potato. We're not. We're saved in order to do good works. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:10. Says, "For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You're saved unto good works. We're not saved to sit on the couch, right? We've got to stay in the game, and we're not in the game to get in the game. Because if you're still breathing and walking this earth and calling yourself a Christian, it's time to get in the game, is it not? It's easy to get sidetracked. Sometimes we have so many things, I'm telling you, that crowd our lives. And most of y'all know I work with Belk, and sometimes I have to travel out of town. And it's those weeks especially that I find a hard time. When am I going to study? Lord, when am I going to study? Because it takes time to prepare properly. And I want to do the best that I can, so I want to spend the time needed. And so here I go, I'm going down to Mobile, Alabama, and I'm thinking, when am I going to have time to study? Well, God opened me up a window on Thursday night. I thought, man, I don't need to look at TV. There's nothing but junk on there anyway, and I've got my stuff with me. This is a perfect time. I'm here by myself. I'm going to study. Of course, I forgot the preseason football game was on. Saints' first preseason football. But that's okay, because I did the higher thing. I did the better thing. And I knew somebody's going to tell me the score anyway. So, you know. But that was the better thing. What I'm saying is that if we got our minds wrapped around the right thing, God will provide the opportunity. And He will. Now, if all those things in our life that occupy our lives crowd out the good things we should be doing for the Lord, then sometimes we just have to learn how to say no. We have to say no to some things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to say no to some things. I think that one of Satan's tricks is to get us so busy in our lives and so occupied with things that don't have anything to do with growing our spiritual life, that we get so busy that he robs us of that time that we need with God. Here's a fourth thing. I said there was five, right? Five minus three, two. So here's the fourth thing. Remain steadfast in what you profess. In verse 16, Peter warned about untaught and unstable people who try to twist the scriptures. Then in verse 17, he says that since we know this ahead of time, take care that you're not carried away with the error of these unstable people and lose your own stability. Now, I'm not talking about you losing your salvation. God's got that secure, right? If you've given your heart to Jesus, that's secure. But what he's talking about here is the loss of steadfastness from being solid in your spiritual convictions. What that means is that when someone shows up at your front door and they knock on the front door and they've got a handful of literature that has some heretical view of Jesus, you're not going to be moved by that because you know what you believe, right? Don't be carried away, he says, from those who are unstable, who would twist the scriptures to fit their own needs in order to draw you away from the truth. We got to be on guard about that, don't we? And so stand firm in your profession and confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's a whole nother sermon. But they can stand there and make you think that they believe, that you believe the same thing they do, and vice versa. But don't buy into it. And I'm not saying that Baptist is the only Christian denomination that you should belong to. I'm not saying that. However, I will say that I'm Baptist for a reason. I'm Baptist because I believe that I'm as close to Scripture as closer than anywhere else. That's why I'm Baptist, among many other things. I was not raised in a Southern Baptist church, by the way. But when I got older, I realized, and through my wife, who was a solid Southern Baptist, that is the place I should be. Now, I'm not saying that we're the only thing here, but I am saying that there's going to be some, and you've had them knock at your door before, have you not? There's going to be some that's going to try to convince you otherwise. And if you're not strong in what you profess, if you're not strong in what you believe, the truth that you believe, they're going to lead you astray. That's why it's important, as we go back to that second point, about exercising toward godliness, right? Making ourselves strong in the faith. Now, the fifth thing is to be strong in our growth. The last thing Peter wrote to the Christian church that we have record of is in verse 18. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So one way we do that is that we grow by staying in God's will. God has a will for your life. He does. And growth is a lifelong process. You never stop growing. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian, you're sitting in here and you've been a Christian for 50, 60 years plus. You never stop growing. You never arrive, right? You're still growing. You're still learning. If you're not different, listen, if you're not different today than you were 6 months ago or even a year ago, you're not growing. You've become stagnant. The will of God is for you, as it says there, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow by staying in the will of God. That's the continuing to grow and learn until Jesus comes back for you, right? He's going to come back for you individually in death one day, or he's going to come back in for all of us. Another thing, how you grow is by staying on your knees. What I mean by that is prayer, right? Prayer is something that we do in obedience to God. Prayer is a discipline that many fail to do consistently. And I really don't know why. I enjoy praying, talking to the Lord. And sometimes I talk to him a lot because there's lots of things to figure out and what to do about this, that, and the other. But we get busy doing other things, perhaps. But when we don't pray, we miss out. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray, really. Well, just start talking to God on a regular basis and you'll figure it out, right? You're going to figure it out. He's going to teach you to pray. Just like Jesus' disciples got that question, Lord, how do we pray? And that's when he delivered to them the Lord's Prayer. That doesn't mean that you sit down and you say that verbatim all the time. But God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to me. And so start having a conversation with God, and that leads toward growth. Growth also comes through the Word of God, as we said, the Bible. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." The book. This book right here. Jesus said he's coming quickly, and we need to hold on to the words concerning his coming. If you do that, you'll grow. You won't stagnate in your excitement about God and what he's yet to do. There's a lot of exciting things that's going to happen ahead, right? Amen. You know what can keep us going in this crazy world that we live in is the promises in the Bible that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to make everything right. You think things are under control, out of control rather, and they are quite a bit out of control, are they not? Don't you think that God's forgot about us? His word. Say amen to this morning if you believe his word. Amen. You're here this morning. He said he was going to come back and make all things right. Amen. He's not forgot about us. I believe that. Don't you? Well, we study our Bible to learn these things and to grow. Another way to grow is through the work of the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says that we are to meet regularly in order to stir up love and good works, exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian and grow. You can't. You'll get off track. God designed the body of the church like the human body. All the cells in our bodies and the organs, they all work together to make us go, right? It's a miraculous thing. But God has designed the body of Christ, which is you and me, to function much like the human body does. We've got to have the parts, and hopefully they're all working right, and to get us and keep us going. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. We have to have each other. We can't just all separate and do our own thing. We've got to have each other. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if you read history, you'll find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who ceased to think about the next world. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this world. Well, you've heard the phrase, too, that someone's so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Well, according to that, in order for us to be earthly good, we got to keep our mind on what's out there ahead of us, right? We got to keep our mind on heaven to be earthly good. So my prayer this morning, considering the things about how this world will end one day and the next world that we're heading to, that knowledge will help us to do more good in the world that we're living in now, right? We've got to stand strong, and we've got to stay prayed up, and we've got to keep growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that coming to church is just too mundane. We always do the same thing. And sometimes we do, don't we? We do the same old thing. I've been tempted one day to come in and not do anything that's in the bulletin, Robert. Just upend the whole. It's tempting. But I'm probably not going to do that. But we do get stuck doing the same old thing sometimes, don't we? But what we got to be careful about is that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that worshiping God is just become mundane and I've got something better to do, or I can find something better to do. It's not. And true worship starts right here, doesn't it? It starts with me. It starts with you. It doesn't matter if Robert gets up here with a guitar and does handstands and turns backflips in order to entertain you. It depends on me whether I'm fed or not. It depends on me whether I get anything out of it or not. That's part of my growth. That's part of my growth. Now, all that's not bad, but it is if it distracts more than it does good, right? Let's pray. Father, there's so much in your word. We've tried to cover some of it this morning in the time that we have. Father, it's up to us now to take what we've heard from you and develop that and act on that. Help us to be faithful and obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.